sure. I'm green. Okay. Turn your Bible again to Acts chapter 15. And, well, I'm going to start basically verse 5. Well, verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And then the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. I'm just going to stop right there for the moment. This is, again, Paul and Barnabas going up to Jerusalem, after some came from Judea to Antioch, after it had been heard. And these came to Antioch from Judea and taught the brethren. And then they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And there was a big fight. No small dissension and disputation. And evidently it wasn't settled there, so they decided to go back to Jerusalem and talk to them. And those that came from Judea, and Paul and Barnabas and certain others, went to Jerusalem for this express purpose, to address this question. To address this instruction from these men. Now, when they were received in Jerusalem by the church, by the apostles and the elders, they declared all the things that God had done with them, how they had preached to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles received it through the power of God. But evidently, this brought something to a head. Because like I said, in this account, Luke doesn't name any names other than Paul and Barnabas and later on Peter and James. You know, he doesn't name any names. He doesn't repeat anything but what they said that Paul had a disagreement with and Barnabas and others. That they were certain came down from Judea and taught the brethren, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. Well, when Paul and Barnabas and certain others got to Jerusalem and told them what God had done, not what I had done, what God had done, there rose up certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed, now it does say that, saying that it was needful to circumcise them. Now they were in Jerusalem. This problem had been addressed actually a little bit before. The salvation of the Gentiles had been talked about. Now, that was in Acts 10 and Acts 11. In Acts 10, you find where Peter went to see Cornelius. Now, the weird thing is, to me, it seemed a little strange, as you'll see in Acts 10, is the whole account of how Peter went to Cornelius, preached to Cornelius, was received by Cornelius, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them while he was yet speaking. The next chapter, Peter has to explain exactly what he did in chapter 10 to the fellows in Judea again. Chapter 11, it says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. That's chapter 11, verse 1. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they were of the circumcision, contended with him. This was a new thing for the Jews. Totally new. In a way that had never happened before. There were those outside of Israel that joined themselves to Israel, but that's what they did. Ruth joined herself to Naomi and joined herself to the people of Israel. And that's what these Jews were wanting to continue at this time, because this is all they knew. And they actually, I got surprised here when I reread this again. I'm sure I read it, but it didn't quite, you know, strike me there. But here, when I read this, it said, Peter was come up to Jerusalem. This is 11 and verse 2. They that were of the circumcision contended with him. And this is how they contended with him. They said, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. That's the way of the Pharisees. You weren't supposed to eat with uncircumcised people. And you went into their house. Well, if you read on down here, in verse 12, the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, Peter said, I didn't go by myself. These six brethren accompanied me. And we entered into the man's house, which is what these Pharisees were complaining about. Then Peter wrote this, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. There is not in this account any mention of whether or not these people have to be circumcised to be saved. But there is the mention of the circumcised talking about the uncircumcision. This is chapter 10 and verse and chapter 11. Now, at the end of this account, Peter telling his story, what happened, forasmuch then, then Peter wrote, Peter said, then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And that's the end of these accounts until we run into this again in Acts chapter 15, where we're having problems with the Pharisees, which believe. Now, as I said last week, I understand wholeheartedly how someone's youth and upbringing and education can affect their way of thinking. I've said this before, and I actually, well, no, I meant it before. And I mean it more now. I was extremely lucky in a way because I was not religious. Because I've seen other people who have been religious. No, I'm talking about Walter. But I have seen other people who have been religious. That it's hard for them to shake off their earlier stuff. I had less to unlearn, Mason. Because I had nothing. I was virtually ignorant of this book. Which is not unheard of in Catholicism. That's just I'll throw that in for free. It's not exactly even frowned upon that much, if you're all know the truth about it, that I know of. But these Pharisees, which believed, were having a hard time shaking this off. And even though Peter had gone and preached, and they had rejoiced, There's still that in their minds of the law. It's there. It had been, and I'm not against the law. Debbie and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and good. And she said, yeah, that's the part I have a problem with. I said, what? I said, the just part. I'm glad it's holy. I'm glad it's good, but I don't want just. The commandment is just. I don't want that. I need mercy. I need grace. Justice is going to kill me. If you're going by my works or anything else, justice will kill you. There's nothing wrong with the law. Everything is wrong with us, which Peter will state later on. Now, let me see. I'm in the wrong place here. Wait a minute. I went too many pages. There we go. Now, the thing that did surprise me when I went back and was reading chapter 10 and chapter 11, where Peter went to Cornelius, and then he came back and had to go to Judea to explain why he went to Cornelius. And it was accepted. But what Peter told them was God saved these Gentiles where they were. They don't have to come to Judea. They don't have to come to Jerusalem. God saved these Gentiles as Gentiles. This is not a conversion to Judaism.
Right.
That's not what salvation is. Is. And see, these Jews had for thousands of years been looking for the Messiah. Now they know the Messiah has come, but now they were looking and seeing only Jews. But Peter said, God is now saving the Gentiles where they are, just like us. There's no difference in the salvation of a Jew or a Gentile now. There never was. Salvation is in Christ. It always has been. Salvation is by grace. It always has been. Now, God gave the Gentiles the like gift as unto us. Now wait for the disclaimer here. There were no Gentiles circumcised anywhere in this account during this event. No one was circumcised before or after this in chapter 10 or chapter 11. As far as we know, by what is recorded, there was no circumcision mentioned, accomplished before or after any of this. There's a reason for that. Circumcision doesn't matter in salvation. And that's where Paul had an exception with those certain from Judea. Circumcision is not a qualifier. It's not necessary for anyone to be given the Holy Ghost. Neither of these accounts, where it happened in Acts 10 or where Peter reported it in Acts 11, has any mention of anyone being circumcised. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as I said, at the end, these held their peace and glorified God. But then, Paul and Barnabas show up. Those came to Antioch. And after a big fight there, they came up to Jerusalem for a big fight there. And I'll tell you, I have messed up these pages. I'm serious. I don't even know where I am. That's all right. The thing that got me here, Walter, now this is back in Acts 15, verse 5. All that had been mentioned at the first verse was that they need to be circumcised to be saved. They come to Jerusalem, state their case. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them. They didn't stop there, though. They added something else. And to command to keep the law of Moses. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Yeah. I'm not saying anything bad about the law or the command. But a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. Anytime you start to add a work to grace, you've opened the door to add another work.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to tell you, people who believe in works will never believe that you have enough. They may, but you won't. They may, but I won't. They'll throw something else at you. And Mason, they played the law card here. Because, see, you can't talk bad about the law. The law is holy. The commandment is holy, just, and good. Paul wrote that. One of the fellows they're arguing against with, he wrote that. And Walter, I can imagine when that guy stood up and said that Paul and Barnabas just looked at each other and said, oh boy, here we go again. That was the end of the public meeting. Then it became between the apostles and the elders. They got together to discuss this matter, to consider this matter. I'm not saying, this is something Walter and I mentioned, we talked about, and Walter mentioned after service last week. As far as circumcision goes, I'm not against it. I said that. And if you want to be circumcised to identify yourself with the Jews, if you are a Jew, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a Jew, there's nothing wrong with that. You know? But it is not necessary, right, for salvation. And you can't throw a command on somebody else, which is what these guys were doing. Because salvation is either by grace or it's by works. Yeah. Because grace is grace or it's not. Works is works or it's not. And salvation, we have it clearly, is of the Lord. It is by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Just as the Gentiles have been given the Holy Ghost by God when Peter preached. They had been given the gift. Because it's a gift. It's not works. But I can imagine Paul and Barnabas looking at each other when they brought that up, and then they brought in the law. He said, uh-oh, we can't talk bad about the law. And the thing about this, Walter, that I found wonderfully amazing is, you know how Paul was. And we've got his books here, okay? And we hear, you know, where there was no small dissension and disputation. What we have here, though, is the words of Peter as an answer to this argument. Peter, who was the first apostle to preach to the Gentiles, Peter, who was sent specifically by God to do this, to preach to Cornelius. Peter stood up. In verse 7, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them," Gentiles and Jews, "purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Peter was reminding believing Jews, we couldn't keep the law. That's why Christ came. That's why there was a new covenant, because the old covenant, well, nothing wrong with the old covenant except we broke it. We couldn't keep it. Man couldn't handle it. Man can't handle it now. And man can't keep it even after being saved, after being regenerated, after being given life, after being given faith. We still can't keep the law. Because if you're going to keep the law, you've got to keep it perfectly. No failures. No failures. I can't do it. The law is holy, just, and good, and I'm none of the above. The commandment is holy, just, and good, and I'm none of the above. I've got nothing to do that I can do correctly. I can do lots of things, but not correctly. Peter told him, he says, "Why put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which your fathers couldn't bear, nor we couldn't bear?" We needed the Messiah to save us from our sins. We couldn't keep the law. How are we going to tell anybody else to keep it? I don't want to put anything on anyone. All I can do is tell the truth of God and lie not. I can say, without Christ, you'll die in your sins. That's it. Without Christ, you're going to die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He said that. I didn't say it. But here, the horrible thing about this is the simple fact, if you say this life from God, conversion from God, faith from God, the Holy Ghost from God, if you're saying God's salvation is not enough because I've got to add works to it, if I have to add anything to his work, you're saying that his work was not enough.
Right.
And that's what these men were teaching. And that's why Paul and Barnabas got upset. That's why Peter stood up here. There is nothing to be added to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. There are things we will do after salvation. There are good works that we ordain, are ordained that we should walk in them. But Peter laid it on him and said, your fathers couldn't do this. We couldn't do this. Why are you wanting to put it on anybody else? Yeah. And we need to stop this right now. Then Peter said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Salvation is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and no one else, and nowhere else. And that's the message that Paul preached. That's the message that Barnabas preached. That's the message that Peter preached. And this, like I said, this was a big thing to these Jews. To even let Gentiles, you know, we weren't supposed to talk to them if we were Jewish. You weren't supposed to talk to them. You weren't supposed to go into their house. You weren't supposed to have anything to do with them. And definitely you weren't supposed to eat with them. Peter told them that God put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. There is no difference now between the Jew and the Gentile as far as salvation, period. This was a radical thought for these Jews to soak in. This, well, I am so happy when I read this, Walter, because there are times there are people who talk about Paul and his teaching, his doctrine, as though it's different than the teaching of all the other apostles. It is sometimes a little different in tone, but the message is exactly the same. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Peter is stating salvation is by grace. Yeah. Peter is stating that, like the Old Testament said, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of the Lord and man. It's not of the Lord and the law. It's not of the Lord and circumcision. It's not of the Lord and anything. Salvation is of the Lord. It is by grace through Jesus Christ. It is the result of Jesus Christ's work. Man's work has nothing to do with any of it, not salvation. And the dissension that went from Antioch all the way to Jerusalem ends here. Well, the account ends here. I don't know that the dissension ended here. Well, we only got what we got. I mean, as far as the scriptures go, all we got is what we got. But I love this statement by Peter, where he was telling these Jews, listen, God is saving these Gentiles just the way he saved us. And this was such a new thing to them. And it actually had, he had to keep going to where these Jews had to reconsider some of the things they had been saying as far as recommending or commanding circumcision. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. The amazing thing about this account is where Peter was talking and where it talks about all this dissension. You didn't hear, you didn't have Paul standing up talking through the whole time. He waited till Peter was done, evidently. Then James, after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things." And then this is the verse I was actually heading for. And hopefully we'll talk a bit next week. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Then James does give them a few things. "Write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood." But it doesn't even say that they might be saved. There are those who teach that there are different dispensations. And I agree if I can set the definition of the word. By dispensation, a lot of people mean there are different ways of being saved. There were those that were saved before the law. There were those that were saved by the law. There were those that saved, you know. No. Salvation has always been by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Old Testament and New. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then it says he was a just man. Adam and Eve were clothed by God in the garden. He sought them, they didn't seek him. That's the way it always has been.
Yeah.
That's the way it always will be. He is found of those that sought him not. Why? Because he finds them first. Just like his lost sheep. And he picks it up and he brings it in. Even everyone that is called by the Lord. Every single one. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this. Your Son, our Lord. And for the grace you have given us. In our Lord Jesus Christ, for the work that he did perform, for the salvation he did obtain, for the redemption that is complete. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.